Thank you so much for sharing your gifts to bless our Lord and Savior and Father. He loves it. I mean, what father wouldn't love it when their kids sing to him, right?
I would.
I would. You got it. Yeah, nothing touches your heart like that, except for when you have grandkids and they do. But God doesn't have any grandchildren, just children. It's an interesting thing to think about. So thank you so much. Dean, thanks for your part. And Justin, always have to think about the drummer boy and the Christmas carol. But and you bless the Lord when you tickle the drums. I know he blesses his heart. So thank you too, Deb, for doing the PowerPoint. The other two elders are gone. They're both on vacation. So I hope they're having a great time with their families. My wife is in Maryland watching our son compete in CrossFit again today. He has two more workouts today for his competition. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I just came home last evening from Maryland. He's doing well. And his wife's there with our two grandchildren, 4 and 1. So she's busy helping with the children as I was yesterday. But God is good. Mary alluded that we're doing a series of messages on prayer. We had a discernment team come from Netzer. Netzer is an apostolic network. These leaders have gifts. In Ephesians 4, it talks about how God gave some people gifts, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Netzer are gifted in the apostolic gift, and they use it to encourage and bless leaders and churches all over Southeast Pennsylvania and around the world. They have people they connect with around the world as well. Anyway, we asked if they could send an intercessory prayer team here to Teen Central to pray on our behalf to see what God might say to us and what he would have in store for us. One of the main things that they all were a little bit confused about, that they said it seemed like we were praying for a prayer team and not a church. And they were saying that one of the main focuses for this church is prayer. So in response to that, the elders are going to be doing a series of messages on prayer. And so this is the first of these messages. So let's pray. Father, you know I've spent time in your presence, and I've asked what I should share, and I think what I have is from you. But unless your spirit attends it, it's nothing. It's just words. I trust you, Spirit, Lord, to speak through me to each person today just as they need it. You know what they need, not I. So move in our midst. Continue to move in our midst this morning. Let Jesus receive glory through this and draw us all nearer to yourself. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message is really on my heart, both literally and figuratively. I was in a competition watching my son in California at Sacramento. It's called the NorCal Classic. And they had all this stuff you could get for souvenirs. This is my souvenir from Sacramento, California. Prayer shirt.
You have good taste.
Thanks. You know, for most of us, we've been probably praying since we were young, from an early age. Maybe you learned it from your parents. And it's something we do every day, I believe. But like things we do every day, sometimes we don't give it a lot of thought. Just something we do. Most of us probably pray at the start of our day. And many of us pray before meals. And some of us pray before we go to bed. And we all pray in the midst of challenging circumstances, right? there's ever a time when we're praying, it's when we're up against it in some way or another. Yet, we seldom really take time to consider what it really means to pray. So this morning, I'm going to ask you, I'm literally going to ask you, and you're going to answer. It's not rhetorical. What does it mean to pray? What is prayer? What are your answers to this? What is prayer?
Talking to God,
communication with God.
Closer
to Him. I have down here communion, intimacy, right?
Stronger relationship building.
Correct. All part of it. What else is prayer? Anything else comes to mind?
Concerns.
Yes. We take them on concerns. Thanking Him, that's part of it. Thanksgiving and praise, sure, absolutely.
Feeling His presence.
Yes. Feeling His presence. I don't know if you heard her say that. One of the things I've listed that you didn't mention, it's not just talking, but it's also listening. Listening. Yes, it is. It can be, and oftentimes is, warfare. And it's critical for our spiritual well-being, isn't it? If we want to be healthy spiritually without prayer, it's not going to happen without prayer. It's needed. Lastly, I would say prayer is a privilege. We have an audience with God, creator of the universe. You know, when we receive Christ into our hearts and became Christians, we now have this privilege to talk to God at any time, day or night, about anything.
And anywhere. In our heads, in our hearts.
Right. Out loud, in your mind, He hears it all. All we have to do is cry out, Abba, Father. And He hears us. And sometimes we make it to be something harder than it is. It's as simple as a child talking to their father. And it's only natural for children to talk to their father. And when we pray, we're inviting God into the nitty-gritty of our lives. As we converse with Him, we're telling Him what's on our heart. And we're asking Him to work in our lives. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Paul says this, "Be anxious for nothing." It means we're not supposed to worry. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And when we do that, it says, "And the peace of God will surpass all understanding and will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's beautiful, isn't it? Do you want peace? Go to God. And it says He will give it to you. And it'll surpass what you can understand, but you will have it, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the concern. So instead of being anxious or fearful, we have a loving Father we can go to and unburden ourselves, giving it to Him. And we're confident that He hears us and cares for us and is concerned about us. What concerns you? Concerns Him. No matter how big or how little, if it concerns you and you take it to Him, He hears. What a wonderful Father. I wish I'd be that kind of father to my kids all the time, and I'm not, because we have flesh on. We're weak, but not our Heavenly Father. He's amazing. So I have a couple of scriptures that we're going to about prayer. So It's the first one, Psalm 91:15. So whoever has that one can read it.
Psalm 91:15. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him.
Hear that? It says, will. I will answer him. I will be with him, and I will deliver him. I mean, that's a promise from the Lord. And the next one's Isaiah 65:24.
It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are still speaking, I will hear.
That's amazing, isn't it? What a promise from God. Before they call, I will answer. While they're yet speaking, I will hear. The other night we had this elders meeting. It was the night of all the rain. It was a Monday night, and Barry and Scott and I were meeting with DJ from Parker Ford and Brandon Hanks from Netzer. And we were praying for their safety to even get there. And as we're praying, they came in the door. It was one of those times where this scripture came through. How about Matthew 7:7-8?
Matthew 7:7-8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened.
Beautiful promise from Jesus for us as we come to him in prayer. He says, my word is truth. This is the truth. What you just heard is the truth. We have a God that hears our prayers. Not only hears our prayers, but answers our prayers. So, we know this is something that's awesome, right, prayer? Why is it so hard to pray? Why is this an issue with us? It is. Time. What do you mean, time? It is, but why don't we do it? Why is it hard to do it sometimes? Why do we not do it sometimes?
Sometimes we don't think it's important enough as far as what we're praying about. Like, it's no big deal, I'll handle it.
Yeah. Is that good?
No.
No.
I got this. You know?
I got this, yeah. God's busy enough. He doesn't need to hear this. No. It's called self-sufficiency, right? When we pray, we are actually humbling ourselves. It's a humble activity. Because we have to die to self to come to God. Why else is it hard to pray? Kathy alluded to this with your one answer to the other question. Why?
That's what I meant. It's powerful and the devil doesn't.
Yeah. We have an enemy, folks, who doesn't want us connecting with our Father. He will do whatever he can to hinder that. Making us busy so we don't have time, or we don't think we have time. Giving us wrong priorities. Or, like me, I just get lazy sometimes. I'm just being honest. Other times, he's good at lying to us. He'll say, oh, your prayers, they're inadequate, they're feeble, they're ineffective. We get discouraged, right? You ever get discouraged when you're praying? You think God's not answering, so why bother? That's a lie from the liar. And then there's times where we just feel unworthy to talk to a holy God because there's things in our lives that we know about that hinder our relationship, and so we shy away from him. Like Adam and Eve, they hid themselves because of their sin. So yeah, there's things, it's a beautiful thing, and yet it's hard to do at times. So let me ask you this question. It's one of these questions that's really loaded, and it always makes me wince when I'm asked by people. Occasionally someone will say, how is your prayer life? Ooh. How is your prayer life?
Better than it was, but not as good as it should be.
I hope that's, a lot of us probably say that same thing. Could be better. Maybe it's not what it should be. I think we could all probably. Somehow we, when we're asked that question, maybe nobody's asked you that question recently. I don't know. But somehow we all think in some way it's not quite as it should be. It's substandard somehow. I don't know. Maybe I'm alone. And then there's times where we think, because we're not getting answers, and sometimes we think it's a waste of time. Some people will say, well, God already knows everything. Why do I have to bother asking him, right? It's true. He does know everything. But yet God never tires from hearing from his children because he loves us. He wants you to come to him and talk to him and share those things, even though he knows what you need. He wants us to ask. That's why he says to do that. That's why Jesus says, ask, seek, and knock. Song of Solomon 2:14 says, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet. Psalm 116, 1 and 2, the Lord says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. He has inclined his ear to me. Therefore, I will call on him as long as I live. Yes, that's true. Beautiful. So just know that God wants us to pray. He expects us to pray. And he commands us to pray. Wow. Jesus said this in Luke 18:1, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then in Matthew 5:5-6, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. So it's not about a show. Gracious, loving, Heavenly Father. No, just be yourself. Talk to Dad. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:7 says, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. He says in Colossians 4:2, continue steadfastly in prayer. You know, as I was preparing this message, there's a lot of things you with prayer. This could go all places. But I came to this verse in Isaiah 56:7, where it says, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And then Jesus repeated this in Mark 11:17 when he drove the buyers and the sellers out of the temple. He repeated these very words from Isaiah. It says, is it not written, my house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations? You notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, my house shall be called a house of programs for all people, for all the nations. Or my house shall be a facility to meet all the people's needs. No. My house shall be called a house of prayer. And then Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3:16, he explains what God's real house or dwelling place is. And he says this, do you not know that you are God's temple, that your God's spirit dwells in you? So we're singing about going to the house. We are the house of God. There's joy in the house of the Lord, right? And I won't be quiet. So, we're God's house. We're his temple. Are you a house of prayer? It's a good question. Would you describe yourself as a house of prayer? I'm not trying to make you feel guilty or anything. I'm just saying this is the Lord. So these verses imply that this is not just something that's on our to-do list, which it can be sometimes, right? Rather, it should be who we are. We should be living a life in constant communion and intimacy with the Father, with Jesus, and with the Holy Spirit, both talking to him and listening to his still small voice. It should be like breathing, something that never stops. Again, Paul said, pray without ceasing. Sure, there's going to be times where we go in our prayer closet, not literal closet, but it could be, a time where we set it aside to just be with the Lord and be with him and talk with him. But then we shouldn't think we're done for the day. Okay, got that done. No. As we go and doing other activities, we should be constantly walking with him, in tune with him, chatting with the Spirit. I do that all the time. Listening for his voice, listening for his directions. 1 Peter 4:5, 2, 4, and 5 says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you are living stones being built into a spiritual house to be holy, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ Jesus. So what Peter is saying here is that we are part of what is called a royal priesthood now, each of us as believers. So a primary calling of a priest is what? What did they do in the temple? Sacrifice and ministered to God, to the Lord, right? Isn't that what they did? And that's a primary calling for all of us. And one way we can do this to minister to the Lord is through prayer. Example of this is in Acts 13:2-3. It says this, the elders at Antioch were meeting to worship and pray. It says, as they ministered to the Lord, they were fulfilling their role as a royal priesthood. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for a work which I called them. And when they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. So that time of prayer these elders had together, they were ministering to the Lord. And then the Holy Spirit said, okay, now I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. I want you to take Paul and Silas, bless them, and send them on. The first missionaries were commissioned, birthed out of prayer, as they were ministering to the Lord. And he wants us to do that as well. That's why it's such a fight sometimes to pray. Because all of hell is wanting to stop us from connecting to the Father and to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, so his purposes are not going to be done. And yet, we all get tempted, and at times, like you said, things are pretty good. I'm all right. So maybe I don't need to pray. Don't need to bother the Lord. It's a real battle sometimes, isn't it, to pray and to spend quality time in the Lord's presence. You see, we have another fight going on too. We have this old self, our fleshly nature. It's fighting against our born-again self, our spiritual nature. Jesus acknowledged this, and he said in Mark 14:38, in the garden, as he was praying before he was going to be betrayed that night in the garden, he says to the disciples, watch and pray. And he says this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, we have that flesh component yet that's weak, that doesn't want us praying. So there'll be those times when we want to pray, we know we should pray, we begin to pray, and we're distracted and by anything and everything. Could be drowsiness. You ever get tired when you go to pray? It's like, what? I feel so sleepy all of a sudden. Hello. Daydreaming. That's why I pray most times out loud, because otherwise my brain goes everywhere it shouldn't while I'm praying. It's like, how did I get there? Ugh, it's frustrating. Put your phone somewhere else while you're praying. I mean, things come up on your phone all the time. I mean, these are all weapons employed by the enemy to keep us from connecting with our God. Because he knows that this is our life source, this connection. There are other hindrances to prayer, and we're going to look at seven of them right now. These are all right out of Scripture. Sometimes we lack the connection. We don't see the results of prayer. And there are reasons for this. And the enemy knows the Scripture. Remember, he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness. He quoted Scripture. He knows these things. So these are things on his to-do list to keep us from connecting with the Father. Number one, he knows if he can get us praying with wrong motives, our prayers are not going to be answered. James 4:3 says, when you ask, you don't get because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. So wrong motives can be a reason why your prayers aren't being answered. Next one is secret sin. I don't know why they call it secret sin. It's not secret to God. Can't fool him. Psalm 66:18. If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. That's what the psalmist says. Do you have any outstanding things before God? Could be hindering your prayers. Take care of it. Bring it under the blood. Confess it. Deal with what you need to deal with. And have that nothing to hinder that relationship. Number three, dishonoring our wives. 1 Peter 3:7. In the same way, your husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is an equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. So if you're not honoring and loving your wife as you should, that could be a hindrance to your prayers. Number four, pride. James 4:6 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. This is a thing, especially for men. It creeps in. Oh, it creeps in and is there. It's something you're always battling. It's something that you never get over, kind of. Number five, unforgiveness. Jesus says this in Mark 11:25 and 26. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you of your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Unforgiveness can be a real barrier with your walk with God and hearing him and him hearing you. So if you have any issues, again, deal with it. Forgive. Number six, lack of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. If you earnestly seek God, he's going to reward you. It says it right there. And then James 1:6 says, but when you ask, ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For not let that man receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. This is someone who's a doubter. Like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Let not him to expect to receive anything from the Lord. Wow. So, and that's something we have to fight too, don't we? To be able to stay in faith. Stay in faith. Number 7. I believe this is one. I would call it a wrong view of God as a hindrance to prayer. What I'm saying by this is some of us have believed the enemy's lies that we're merely servants of a strict master. Do you ever look at God as being a master and we're his servant and we got to do this and that? So our relationship becomes one more out of a sense of duty, like we're praying because it's our duty to pray. And oftentimes our prayers become a performance. Just know, God doesn't want to relate to us as our boss. That's not God. That's not God's heart. He doesn't want that. The truth is, we're his children. And it's not, our relationship is not based on what we do and don't do. It's based on the finished work of Jesus. God sees us as he sees Jesus, clean and righteous. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So don't get this idea that we have to perform and do something. No. That's the enemy dumping on us. And the enemy is constantly lying to us, isn't he? He just continues to fill our minds with thoughts. They're all lies. Things like, don't bother talking with God. You're just wasting your time. Your prayers are pathetic. He's not listening. Why would God listen to you? You ever hear that? You're a sinner. How can you even approach God? You're a sinner. You did that again, and you expect God to hear you? Right? Isn't that what he does to us? He wants us to live in guilt and shame, condemnation. We hang our heads, and we lack in our approaching God. Satan wants us to think we're irrelevant and we're nobodies, which will keep us from drawing near to God. But remember Adam in the Garden of Eden after he had eaten the fruit. God still loved Adam as a son. Even though he had sinned, he called Adam in the garden, where are you? I want to talk with you. God has tenderness for us as his children and wants to talk with us. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given unto us that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. Beautiful verse. Just know and believe that God gets pleasure and joy when we take time from our schedules to be with him in his presence. It brings him happiness.
Don't you want to make him happy?
Yeah, exactly. Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. You bring God great pleasure, and he waits eagerly with anticipation for us to come near to him in prayer, to hear our voice and open up the door for fellowship. That's amazing to me, but that's the truth. Jeremiah 29, I'm getting near the end here, in case you're wondering. 12 and 13, God promises this. You will call upon me and go to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. This verse says, if we're serious and diligent in seeking God and hearing from God, he will answer and speak to us, but we have to do it wholeheartedly. That's the rub, isn't it? Wholeheartedly, with all your heart. And then this verse, it's a beautiful verse out of James 4:8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Man, what an invitation. This is the greatest invitation of all time. The God of the universe wanting to spend time with me and with you. And yet, sometimes we don't take him up on his offer. But he is so passionate about his relationship with us and longs to be with you and me. And that's the thing he desires most, time with us. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So keep seeking God. Keep praying. I thought I'd touch on this yet before we quit. How long should you pray? I know God's saying to do it without ceasing. How long should we be in prayer? I've read books like When You Tarry 1 Hour, and those kinds of things. I would answer you this. I haven't a clue. I don't know. I'm not you. There is no magic formula. You spend an hour, you're going to that'd be good. Depends. I think sometimes when we ask, maybe asking the question, how much time must I spend in prayer? I think it might reveal our hearts, because no one asks how much time you must do something. If you love someone. If you love somebody, you want to be with them all the time. I think about my wife when we were first dating. I couldn't get enough. I mean, I was there constantly. Her parents, I was like another fixture in her house, you know. And that's how it is when you love somebody. And so we shouldn't be asking. We should be seeking time to be with them because you love them, right? It's not about other things. And how you pray, again, that's a, you can do it however you desire. There's not a one-size-fits-all for prayer. I mean, remember David, Saul was encouraging David to beat Goliath with his armor? It didn't fit. And it's the same with prayer. One size does not fit all. There's no special formula. And but Jesus does say this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He says, my sheep hear my voice. We will hear his voice. You know, I read my Bible every morning, and during that time, I talk with the Lord as I read it. I eat my breakfast at the same time. I figure I'm feeding myself in a couple of ways. I did that this morning, and 2 eggs and a bagel and the Word. But I also pray. I have my quiet time. But I seek the Lord in various ways. I ride bike a lot. I've put in a lot of miles. And I usually talk with the Lord while I'm riding. Out loud. Oftentimes. And I always pray while I'm driving. I don't know why. I just do. I mean, I often talk to the Lord while I'm mowing the lawn. Or we live in the woods, I'm blowing the leaves off a lane or whatever. I'm always chatting with the Lord and listening for his voice. It should be a lifestyle, just being with him. And the last thing I want to say is that we're not in this prayer thing alone. I'm so glad about this. We have an awesome helper with a capital H who lives in us that have the capital H, the helper. Why not? You're in the first row. The Holy Spirit, that's right. You're going to get a star. Sorry, you're sitting in the front row. You're not going to sit up there anymore. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Part of God lives in us. So we don't need to look up to pray. We can just look at our chest, you know. He's in there. And he wants to help us. The Holy Spirit and us make a prayer team. You ever think about that? We're a prayer team. It's a dynamic partnership. He desires to partner with us. We can't do without him, and he doesn't want to do it apart from us. He desires that connection. We are weak, he is strong. I'm so glad. And if we don't know what to pray or how to pray, he will help us and guide us. This is what Paul says in Romans 8:26, and I only have two more other statements after this, okay? It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. Thank you, Lord. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So sometimes when you don't know what to pray and you go, ugh, he interprets that and sends it off to the Father as a prayer. Praise the Lord for that, right? Yes. I'm not just joking about that. That's very true. So even when our prayers sound underwhelming, your prayers ever sound underwhelming? Mine often do. Because of our partnership with the Holy Spirit, who is God, even when we don't have the words to speak, as long as we're connected and led by him, they are in fact powerful. Powerful. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Keep on praying. Because our Heavenly Father is listening and waiting to answer. One last scripture from David, Psalms 27:7-8. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. My heart responds, Lord, I am coming. Is that beautiful? Lord, I am coming. The Lord is asking, come and talk with me. And I respond, Lord, I am coming. Let this be the case with each of us, because that's the one thing he desires most. Time with you. Time with you. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You're a wonderful Father. You even put part of yourself to live in us in your spirit. So when we are so weak and don't know how to even pray, he intercedes in our behalf. Thank you. Lord, help us to connect with you in real ways, each and every day, and throughout our days. Help us to hear your voice. You told us we would. Help us to be obedient to those things you ask us to do. Even sometimes when they seem a little strange, maybe. Help us know your voice and listen and follow. Thank you that you love us that much, that you desire to be with us and hear us. You're an amazing God. Thank you for this great privilege we have of connecting with you, the God of the universe. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.